You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
The New Testament reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look at not what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 20. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and the ruler, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you.
It's no secret, if you've been here probably more than once, you know that I love movies and have spent a great deal of time watching some movies over and over again. And I shared a number of months ago that actually my earliest movie watching memory was at the drive-in. I'll let some of you explain to your children what drive-ins are or were. And with blankets curled up in the back of the station wagon, I think I was about 3 years old, watching a movie that's amazingly appropriate for any three-year-old called The Godfather. A movie just filled with great lines. All you need to do is say, "Leave the gun, take the cannolis," and people will know what movie you're talking about. There's a scene at the end. It's a flashback scene where the sons of Vito Corleone are sitting around the dining room table preparing for his birthday celebration, and they are lamenting the fact that the Japanese had just bombed Pearl Harbor. At which point, one of the brothers mentions how many people had gone down to enlist. And the oldest brother, Santino, says, "Well, they're saps. They're saps." One of the other brothers asks, "Well, why are they saps?" He said, "I'll tell you why." He said, "They're saps because they risk their lives for strangers. They're saps because they risk their lives for strangers." At that point, Michael Corleone tells him he enlists, there's a fist fight, and then so on and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that if you operate under that definition, and you are in any way trying to follow the teachings that Christ gave us, then you're a sap. If you adhere to Sonny's definition, you're a sap. See, because the implication of his understanding is you would only risk your life for family. And why would you only risk your life for family? Because you can pretty much bank on the fact that they would do the same for you, that there would be some reciprocity. And so his assumption is that if you risk your life for a stranger, that there's no reciprocity. What are they going to do for you in return? But truly, if we strive at all to follow in the way that Jesus leads, then we understand that reciprocity is not part of the game. And sometimes we're not comfortable with that. Sometimes we're not comfortable with that regardless of which side of that equation we're on. You know, occasionally we will have someone come in during the week off the street and ask us for help. They'll ask us to help with their utilities, to cover their rent. What we do in situations like that is we work through North Fulton Community Charities. They're better equipped to handle requests like that. What we do, however, is we keep gas cards on hand. Because our feeling is if people are trying to get to a place where they need help, then at least we can help them continue on their way. Now, some people sometimes will say that all those people are working the system and, you know, probably going from church to church to church and that sort of thing. And I'll tell you, in the 20 years I've been in ministry, I've encountered a couple of those, but I got to tell you, think about the times when you've needed help and how difficult it is to ask for help maybe even from someone you know, maybe from one of your closest friends, maybe from someone even in your family. And so our feeling is if we can help them continue on their way to get to a place where they can get the help that they need, then we'll do that. And what's interesting is to see the reaction of some of the people that will come in, because again, it's not only on the giving side that people are uncomfortable with the lack of reciprocity, you know, but sometimes someone will say to me, they'll say, well, what time's your worship service on Sunday? And I'll tell them what time we worship, and they'll tell me, they'll say, you know, okay, you know, thank you so much for this gift card. You know, I'm going to get squared away and I'm going to come back and worship with you. And I can tell you, in the 20 years I've been doing this job, not once has someone come back to worship with us on Sunday. And you know what else? That's perfectly fine. Because after doing this for a while, I feel like here's what's going on. I mean, the person, they're doing something they never thought they'd have to do. And they're asking for help in a way they never thought they'd have to ask for help. And even receiving something as simple as a gas card is awfully difficult for some people to do and still retain their dignity. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, look, I'm going to pay this back. I'm going to make this even. Thank you so much for this gas card. I'm going to bring those scales back into balance. And so the only way they can think to do it is to come back on Sunday and to worship with us. But then they get out of here and man, just life intervenes, and that's okay. Because we're saps. We're saps. We risk our lives for strangers. We put ourselves out there without the idea that they're going to come back and to do anything for us in return. So if you follow in the way of Jesus, if you try to, then you're a sap. Because, I mean, the simple matter is the things that Jesus was doing, I mean, they really didn't make sense. There was no idea of reciprocity. There was no idea of protection that, you know, I'll support you and you'll support me in return and we'll get through this together just fine, because Jesus knew from day one, you know, his journey was not going to be one where he would just be fine. And the things that he was doing simply didn't make sense. And that's why people were saying in the beginning part of this passage, man, this guy's out of his mind. Because think about the way he's drawing up this movement. Think about the people that he's choosing. He's going up against this massive power structure of Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and Roman authorities and Jewish authorities. So who does he choose to follow him but uneducated fishermen? And then if that's not bad enough, if they don't have, you know, if you couldn't find anybody else who would be any less influential, then go out and get yourself a tax collector. Because they are despised by everybody. The Romans don't like him because they just see him as ingratiating themselves into the Roman way of life, and they know they're not Romans, so they don't like him. And the Jews certainly don't like him because they're skimming off the top and they are ingratiating themselves with the Romans, and so they hate him too. So now you got some uneducated fishermen. Now you got a tax collector. Well, who else should you go find? I know. Maybe a zealot. Maybe someone who's picking a fight. Maybe somebody who thinks he's actually tough enough that the Romans are going to back down and he will single-handedly reinstate the Jewish Empire. Now, Let's put these people in the same room together. You have a zealot who hates the Romans, who wants to militarily conquer them and have nothing to do with them because they're dirty and nasty and unclean. And you're going to put that person at the same table as a tax collector who makes his living off kind of being Roman. This guy's out of his mind. It makes no sense, the things that he's doing. And then you have this craziness at the end. Your mother and your brothers and sisters are here to see you. Okay, now that's pretty high up on the list of commandments, to honor your father and honor your mother. But what does Jesus say instead? Who? My mother and my brothers. Who are they? But instead, he again, this makes no sense. He expands that definition to say anybody who does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister. Anybody who does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister. And this is what we do, and this is why being a sap is just a great thing. Because when you give without the idea of any sort of reciprocity, it's actually very liberating. Because then you don't have to worry about what's coming back in your direction. You know, I mean, time prevented me from getting into all of this with the kids when they were sitting up here, but we had, you know, at 4:30 our cyclists were up, pumping up tires and getting loaded up for their ride. And at 6 o'clock, another group pulled into our parking lot and matching pink t-shirts from this church ready to go to Honduras. Now, on the one hand, I haven't asked any of those people going to Honduras, but I think, I feel pretty confidently I can speak for them in saying not a single one of them expects anyone from Honduras to come up to Roswell to give us a hand. Not a single one. But as individuals and as a community of faith, that's the kind of thing that we do. We recognize that we are all part of one single family. And when you do that, you give and you sacrifice and you put yourself out there and you take the time to cook some food, to drive somebody to the airport, to do what needs to be done to get the will of God done in this world. That's what you do. And that's what you and this congregation do so well. And so to wrap up this morning, I want to talk about one particular area. Anyone who does the will of God is my mother, sister, and brother. I want to take a moment to talk about our kids. We have two sacraments in the Presbyterian Church. One we'll celebrate this morning, gathering together around the Lord's table. The other is the sacrament of baptism. And when we baptize someone, we ask the individual the questions if they're old enough to be able to respond for themselves, or since we do practice infant baptism, we will ask the parents or guardians a set of questions about how they plan to raise their child, and then we turn to you. And we ask you this. You who are gathered here represent the entire church. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture this child by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging this child to know and to follow Christ? And without exception, you people have responded with a hearty, "We do." Well, friends, this is an area where we need. This is an area where we need you to follow through on that promise, maybe in ways that you haven't done before. Following this worship service, we're going to have a meeting to talk about Vacation Bible School, and this will be the first such meeting, at least since I've been here, where we will be having Vacation Bible School without a staff person whose particular responsibility is children's ministry. Now, with that vacancy and with Reverend Setzer's departure here in another month, as you've been notified, I mean, the personnel committee has taken a step back, looking across the board at the staffing needs for this congregation and who needs to be doing what and where do we need to focus our efforts. Friends, we may not have 100 children coming forward to sit with me on the steps, but we have wonderful children coming forward to sit with me on the steps. And it's been really exciting that I've had more opportunities in this last year to carry those babies around the sanctuary and to introduce them to you after you make those promises. And so it's up to us as a congregation to follow through on those promises and to make sure that we are doing all the things we can to nurture those children in the gospel. Not a single church in the world has the right to lament the absence of teenagers in the pews if that same congregation hasn't done the hard work when they're children to make sure that they know two things. One, that there is no place in this world that they can find themselves where God does not exist and where God is not right there with them. And number two, every child on this planet should know that there is nothing in this world or any other that will ever separate them from the love of Christ. They need to know that there is nothing they can do that will make God stop loving them. And they need to hear that message from more than the people in the black robes, and they need to hear that message from more than just their parents when their parents are leading Sunday school. They need to hear that message from the entire congregation. They need to know that they are loved unconditionally. They need to know that this place is a place that is safe for them to be who they are. It is a place that is safe for them to talk about the struggles in their lives, and that other adults beyond those who share their family name are ready to listen and to support them. I can't begin to tell you what a gift it is for my family, and I know I'm not alone, but I'll only speak for the days. I can't begin to tell you what a gift it is for my family to know that my children have people other than me and their mother that they can talk to about the things that are going on in their life. I can't begin to tell you what a gift it is to know that on my kids' cell phones, they have contacts in there that say second mom. The children of this church, they need to hear the message of the gospel from every single person who is a part of this church. And now maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know what? I taught Sunday school for a long time when my kids were little, and I had a lot of fun doing it, but that time has passed. Well, my friends, your sabbatical has ended. Because I'll tell you something else. I can't tell you what a gift it's been. When we've done parenting things, I remember one night we had a parenting discussion at our Wednesday evening program. And we had a parent show up whose child was grown and out of the house. And what a gift that was to all of us to get that perspective. That's the perspective that our children need. They need to hear from more than just their moms and dads. But they need every member of this congregation to support them, to guide them, to show them the unconditional love of Christ so that when they grow up, they can say with all confidence, "Who is my mother and brother and sister? These people. These people who have shown me the love of God. These people who have nurtured me in the way of Christ are my mother and brother and sister." Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.